Detroit Lions.
You're listening to the best of the Lions.
Oh, baby, how beautiful is that?
A weekly mix of 97.1, the Ticket's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
All right, John, with the Lions getting back underway here. We're out of camp a couple days this week. There's a good buzz around this football team. Amon-Ra St. Brown had an interesting quote as the Lions got back to camp.
Yeah, his quote is, "We're not back to square one, but we're back to square, you're still underdogs. We feel like we play best when we're underdogs. We love being the underdog, and it gives us that hunger, that fight that our team is built off of. We're right where we need to be." And I was looking at this going, are they really underdogs? Because if you think that they're missing the playoffs, and we have callers that think, you know, hey, they take steps back and they're missing the playoffs, then yeah, I think they would fill that underdog status for you if they were to make the playoffs and actually do something in the postseason. But most people believe that this is still a playoff team.
A contender, even.
Yeah. And so the players can do the mental gymnastics and think whatever they want. Right, I mean, Jordan is famous for trying to manufacture some motivation for every single game. But I'm curious to our listeners, to our fans, do you think that the Lions have gone from the 15-2 team, the number one seed, the a favorite to be in the Super Bowl, and some even thought the favorite to win the Super Bowl? To now, the year after that, they are back to being underdogs.
No.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I don't think that's...
You can't be an underdog if you're the division favorite, if you're going to have a home playoff game, if you have a roster of young all-pros on both sides of the ball.
And Stoney and I did it on Friday, right? The best rosters in the NFL, even though they haven't signed a defensive end opposite Aiden Hutchinson, even though Frank Ragnow retired and they've got the two coordinators that are new, eight new coaches on the entire coaching staff, I don't think they can be underdogs.
No. I don't think so either. I don't feel like the Lions are underdogs. I think there are questions, there are concerns, there are obstacles for them to win the Super Bowl, but they are among the teams in the Super Bowl conversation. Therefore, you're not an underdog.
Yeah,
you know what an underdog is? The Chicago Bears. An underdog is somebody who had a losing record last year that no one's really counting in to be a factor for a Super Bowl this season.
Yeah, first-time head coach in Chicago. A rookie quarterback in Minnesota.
Sure.
Jordan Love in Green Bay, and nobody knows really, is he good? Is he bad? Can he ever beat win a big game, have a big game? If you're the favorite to win your division, then I don't think you can be an underdog.
No, I don't feel that way. Let us know, though, because there's been a lot of piling on of the Lions and the offseason and losing coaches and losing players and not filling certain needs. Do you feel like they are an underdog again, to St. Brown's point? And I think this is classic athlete using whatever he can as motivation and more power to him. Like, I think this is classic Jordan.
Yeah.
Then I took it personally. Oh, okay. We hired a bunch of scrubs. No, we didn't. Our coordinators are good. You don't think we can do it? Just watch us. Like, absolutely. Harness it. Go for it. But I don't believe they're underdogs.
No. Again, players can think whatever they want. But we already mentioned the division. In terms of the NFC, I think most people think that the leader in the clubhouse before the season starts is the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah.
And they have lost some players. They had some guys retire. Brandon Graham retired.
They lost Milton in the middle of their D-line.
Sweat
on the edge. Yeah.
Trust me.
They'll be fine.
Jordan Davis. That entire defense, like, they are going to be okay. But there's question marks. I don't think there's a team, in my opinion, this year that you look and you go, there's no Dodgers in the NFL right now.
Right. There's a handful of really good rosters.
Sure.
Like and the Bills and the Ravens are in that mix too. But there's no Dodgers who's like head and shoulders above everybody else.
Right. So... You look and you say, okay, well, Patrick Mahomes with the Chiefs, right? They're always going to be a favorite to win the Super Bowl, but they haven't done anything on their offensive line. In fact, they lost their best offensive lineman, Joe Tooney, to the Bears. And Rashee Rice is going to be suspended at some point.
Yeah, you would think. But they're not going to sell themselves as underdogs.
No.
They were in the Super Bowl last year. They're not going to go, well, we lost a couple key pieces. No. Let's get to George and Metamora. George, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good.
What's up?
Good. And, hey, I do not want to start this fine July morning off by being a negative Nancy, but I 100% believe they're underdogs. I was just at a business meeting yesterday afternoon, and we were talking about the Lions and the excitement coming up. And last year, I had an expectation that they'd be in the Super Bowl. This year, I don't think they're better than the Bills. I don't think they're better than Baltimore or Kansas City or Philly. So by my definition, I would be surprised if they won the Super Bowl. So to me, that's the underdog. The defense is still a big concern. We're 3 years in. I don't think they really addressed it much. I know we can say that Hutch wasn't there for some of last year, and we're going to have a full season of him, which is great. We don't have McLean in the middle. We got a rookie filling that spot. Big concerns on the defense. So, like I said, to me, there's probably four or five teams better. Still, interested in San Francisco this year. So I'd be surprised if they won.
George, by that theory then, so let me ask you this. Who do you think is going to win the Super Bowl this year?
You know what? Health not being a reason here, if everyone stays healthy, I think Buffalo is poised right now. I know James Cook is holding out a little bit, but he's going to the mini camps and stuff like that. They've got the easiest schedule. They're favored in every game. I kind of think that gives them an opportunity to get home field advantage. And that Josh Allen just had to have that Elway feel to me where he's kind of due, right? So I think, like, for me, they would be number one for me. I would think Buffalo. That's where I would land.
But by your definition, the way you described it, if you're not the favorite to win the Super Bowl, you're an underdog. So do you think Kansas City, Baltimore, Philly, that they're underdogs as well?
Good point, John. I mean, that is. Do I think they're underdogs? No. I mean, like, for Philly and the NFC, they still got the best roster in the NFC. So to me, they're probably the favorite going. As far as, in the big game itself, probably a coin flip. Buffalo and Philly are going to play each other this year, so probably figure it out a little bit. But I understand what you're saying. I guess to me, it's just like I would be more surprised if the Lions won. The tour last year, 15-2, they had it going. Yeah, I would be surprised. Like I said, I don't want to be negative with it, but that defense is still a giant concern. Like I said, they have not been good the last 2 years.
So you do think the Lions are an underdog. Interesting. So there is at least one out there. Ticket text, phone calls, 248-539-9797. Amon-Ra St. Brown says, we're not back to square one, but we're back to square you're still underdogs. Mm-hmm. And we feel like we play best when we're underdogs. It's how they have shifted their mentality. But we raised an eyebrow with the term underdog because the Lions are still one of the Super Bowl contenders.
They are. And, I mean, let's just take the NFC right now. And I know, hey, Tampa with Baker Mayfield and the skill that they have, at the skill positions, their offensive line is good.
Yep.
Philly, we've talked about them. The Rams always seem to come up. San Francisco, I know they've got a very easy schedule this year. And so people are looking at them as, hey, they got rid of some dead weight.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden they're ready to, hit the recharge button and they're back. I just don't see them as teams that are as good as the Lions.
Okay, so is it you lose two
Say Philly.
Yeah, you lose two coordinators, you lose two offensive linemen, all pros, Pro Bowl guys. You still have this question about the edge opposite Aiden. I mean, is that the
but
tough
Zeidler
schedule?
Zeidler was not a Pro Bowl guy last year.
2 years ago he was.
Yeah.
And he was highly productive last year.
Sure.
My point is you lose two key cogs of one of the best offensive lines in football. It's just, is it part of why St. Brown can sell this? Because some people are buying it. Like Ticket Texters says, everybody in the media has them taking a step back. Yeah, they're underdogs.
I guess you got to defy what taking a step back means. If it's just, hey, they win 14 games this year instead of 15, is that a step back? Well, in terms of wins and losses, it is. But they could be, by that time, a better team than they were last year.
Good morning, fellas. They are underdogs. They got beat by a rookie quarterback and, we'll say, humiliated. Says they didn't adjust the defense. It was the biggest problem. They've done nothing. Yes, they are underdogs. The way you guys talk about the schedule, they're underdogs. Until we get McNeil back, they won't be an elite team. Yes, they're underdogs. I didn't think people were going to buy into this. Some are with us, John. Absolutely not. The Lions aren't underdogs. They definitely have eyes on them to see if they can recover, but they're definitely playoff bound, 12-5, Josh, from work. Look, and in that world, you have a home playoff game. We know nothing's guaranteed, but they should be favored in that home playoff game. Mm-hmm. And they should be in a position again to compete for the Super Bowl. You're not an underdog.
Yeah, and I don't think just because they play Cincinnati on the road, Baltimore on the road, Kansas City on the road, I don't think they go 0 for all those games.
They'll lose some. They won't lose all.
They might, yeah.
Might. You think they could win all of them? See how you slipped
that in. Sure, they haven't played the games yet.
I think people are not as confident as last year, but not really an underdog. That's another unnamed texter. Knowing St. Brown's standards, maybe he isn't thinking so much about the league or the division, but the Super Bowl, maybe in context like your caller, Bills, Ravens, Chiefs, and Eagles, they are underdogs to those teams.
Yep.
Okay. You got to kind of twist it to get there, though. You really got to work to make yourself an underdog. We're not the Kansas City Chiefs or the Philadelphia Eagles, therefore we're underdogs. The Bills have an easier schedule and loaded up on defense in the draft and free agency.
Reigning MVP.
Fine. Okay. I don't know. To me, underdogs reserved for like a worst to first team. It's reserved for a team that has little to no expectations. It's a team with a first year coach or a new quarterback or.
So let's put it this way too. Going into that game against Washington, Washington was an underdog.
Yes.
And they won. I mean, maybe you have to be a double digit or 9.5 point or lower, you know, dog to be able to say you're an underdog. I don't think that the Lions go into any game this year where the line is more than, 4.5, right. 3.5. I don't even know what the preseason lines are, but like, what's the line going to Kansas City?
Oh yeah, I mean it's not going to be like they're
it's not a touchdown
dogs. No, yeah. I mean they'll set that. If I had to guess, 3.5, something like that.
Sure.
And who knows? I mean, some of it's how are you playing at the time. We see the lines move based on injury reports and all this stuff. Ticket Texter says I do think that they are underdogs. He says, the expectations, the feelings, I just don't have the same as I did the last 2 years. I think they're going to be a mediocre, maybe a little above team.
So what it feels like those that believe they're an underdog is unless you are favored to win the Super Bowl, you're an underdog. But that classification, then there's 31 teams that are underdogs.
Right. It's convenient that the cutoff is if you're not one of the top four teams,
right? Yeah,
you're an underdog.
Yeah.
Well, what if we make it top five? I mean, like it's splitting hairs at that point because the guy called in and goes, I got four teams ahead of them, so they're underdogs.
Yeah, three of them in the AFC and only one in the NFC.
So you're one of the two best teams in the NFC, one of the five best teams in football, and I got to look you in the eye and accept that they're an underdog.
No.
I'm not. I don't feel that way. Ticket Texter says they are definitely underdogs. The talent is there, but they've taken steps back. Ben in Lake Orion. And Jeff in Pontiac says they're not underdogs. They're underachievers.
Okay, yeah, they did underachieve last year.
Yeah, I buy that, sure.
But by underachieving, it was they didn't beat Washington. If they had gotten to the NFC Championship game with the injuries that they sustained, I don't think they would have been underachievers if they lost to Philly.
No, not given the roster,
the circumstances at the time,
yeah, healthy. That would have been a hell of a football.
It would have been fun, yeah. And we are not sitting here saying, oh, if they were healthy,
no,
they would have won.
I think that's disrespectful to the Eagles, who were on a tear and were winning by double digits in most of their playoff games, including
the Super Bowl. We vastly underestimated the Eagles.
Yes.
Last year.
The reason I feel like the Lions are an underdog, Ticket Texter says, is the way they lost to the Commanders. It was shocking, and I just can't get it out of my head. How about this for a definition? You can't be an underdog if A, you're a team that's won the Super Bowl recently, Chiefs and Eagles, or B, everyone expects you to, Bills. So everybody else, the Ravens are an underdog?
Yeah.
I think they're an underachiever to the other texter's point, like Lamar,
sure.
And
Lamar
the Ravens,
in the playoffs.
Yeah. And you could say, look, the Lions, they underachieved last season. Fine. I'll call them an underachiever before I'll call them an underdog.
Yeah. I just don't think that... It doesn't fit my definition, and it really just comes down to what do you feel your definition of an underdog is?
So, hey, just a reminder, there's multiple ways you can take in this show and all the shows here on 97.1 The Ticket. And we see the numbers reflect that more and more people are streaming Welcome to everyone streaming. And there's a variety of ways you can stream, including the Odyssey app. Get it for your mobile device today, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Then you can listen to this show and all the shows anywhere in the United States. And there's going to come a time, if you're out of town this week, trade deadline comes, and oh my God, the Tigers just did what? You're going to wish you had the Odyssey app. So you may as well get it today, and then you could stream this show. If you're going up north and you drive out of range for the FM signal,
sure, out of range,
you get the Odyssey app. But
you know, Dig, you bring up an excellent point. I hope I didn't call you Dig, Doug. Yeah. You bring up an excellent point. This is the week. If you haven't downloaded that Odyssey app, this is probably the week to do it.
Be a good week,
right?
Yeah, because trade deadline. You got a Lions game, and we'll get into the Lions here in a minute. But
Tiger baseball.
Did you call me Dig?
I may have.
What was the other one you called me?
Jug. Yeah.
I told you what the baseball team calls me.
Mr. Karsh?
No. Derg.
Derg.
Yes.
Derg is great.
And because I have a fat thumb and once texted and used D-O, I missed the U and hit the I, G. So it was D-O-I-G.
Doig?
My buddy Tim calls me Doig.
That's good.
And so, yeah, there's Doig, there's Derg, there's now apparently Jug and Dig. So I will answer to all. All of those names. Anyway, Odyssey app. Get it for your mobile device today, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Then you can stream this show. Also through our website, 971theticket.com, where Champ and Chump are posted. People selected Champ and Chump at a weekend. That's 971theticket.com. You can stream with video. Hello, those of you watching on YouTube and Twitch. Thank you very much. Go to twitch.tv, the search bar at the top, 971theticket. Go to youtube.com, same thing, search bar at the top, 971theticket. So, and then you can watch the show and participate in the streaming chat where there's a fine community of people. So, there you go. All right. So, Lions scrimmage today. Who scrimmaged? Well, it was, according to Dan Campbell, who spoke this morning, they really wanted to get guys reps who weren't going to play in the game on Thursday, which meant starters. A lot of starters scrimmaged today. And according to Colton Pouncey, one player was the best player on the field. Have you seen this tweet?
I have not.
Kang, did you see the tweet? Who the best player in the field was?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
John Chancellor was not on the field today.
He was not on the field. The Lions scrimmage this morning, starting offense and defense, got the bulk of the work. Aiden Hutchinson was the best player on the field.
What?
Had him for 3 sacks with a 4th the team didn't credit. He looks phenomenal.
So the best player on the team was the best player in the field?
Yes.
Good.
Yep.
Glad to hear it.
Yep.
Glad to hear it for a million reasons.
Yep.
And number one through 999,999 is that he's healthy. And I know that was a concern for a lot of people. Wasn't for me. But for that 1% that I was holding back, that maybe it's a concern, it's gone.
Yep.
And I hope that everybody else in Detroit is breathing a lot easier now. And now can get a little chesty and excited about what's to come. But of course, obviously, everyone wants everybody to stay healthy. But he's had rave reviews after practices this year. This is just today's scrimmage that they're going through, let alone what has happened in the last week since he returned to practice.
A healthy Aiden Hutchinson can win you the Commanders game.
Certainly would have been nice to have him, yes.
Right? I mean, he can win you that game. They had a bad day. They picked a bad day to have a bad day. The offense turned it over. What's funny is one thing we don't talk about enough, and I only do this because I watched quarterback last night. Ben Johnson's last trick play was a terrible trick play. It backfired spectacularly. The double reverse pass by JMO that when it was intercepted when it should never have been thrown.
No, it shouldn't have been, and I'm sure that it was killing JMO in the moment in the offseason. I'm sure everybody wants to move past it. Let's start the season and redeem ourselves. Look, that's not the play that cost them the game. They had a bunch of plays that cost them, and that was
Goff.
That was a bad one.
Not typical. Turned it over. Having Aiden Hutchinson on the field in that game could win them that game.
Yeah,
like he is that good.
Pressure machine.
We've been sitting here talking about edge rusher. Most teams that win the Super Bowl that have a dominant edge rusher don't have two. The Lions do have one, right? And that's something people really want him to go big at that position, and it's understandable. The allure of having Max Crosby and Aiden Hutchinson lining up across from one another, but nobody has that. Nobody has that. Trey Hendrickson, nobody has Trey Hendrickson, Aiden Hutchinson. Nobody has Myles Garrett and Aiden Hutchinson. Aiden Hutchinson alone is a massive difference maker. And yeah, I got it. Scrimmage, ball is sound off the bat. Yeah, we know how preseason hype can be. Oh my God, did you see who scored 30 in the summer league? But he's not doing that, and he doesn't look that way if he's slowed by the broken leg, right?
Right.
Yep.
No, it's great to see that already he's back to where he was, and some people have said he looks better than ever, which I don't know if I believe that, but you know, hearing glowing reviews after today's practice or while the practices are going on, it's great to hear. Now it's anybody else want to step up and get healthy soon would be great.
It would be helpful.
Although it doesn't look like people are going to come back terribly soon. And there was a report that, Tyrion Arnold?
Tyrion Arnold had a hamstring and left the scrimmage, which is not ideal.
It's not ideal.
But you know what? Guys have left scrimmages and left practices.
Yeah. And I don't know if he was scheduled to play on Thursday night or not. Probably easy decision
probably
now to
not.
Say no. But they have had some already in camp, some issues. Nothing seems to be terribly serious, but guys in the secondary have missed some practice. Other guys are limited in coming back from practice. But look, as long as they're ready to go by the regular season and ready mentally as well as physically, it's all that matters. Hopefully that's the case.
It sounds like there's question now about whether or not Josh Pascal will be ready to go by the beginning of the regular season, which is a concern. They need all the guys, all a bullet in every chamber at the edge rusher spot opposite Aiden Hutchinson. I don't know if it's like open tryouts, who's going to get the most reps. They'll probably have quite a rotation over there anyway. But Pascal, the update today was, you know, it's into September before they really can return him to practice. And Dan Campbell said he needs to practice before he plays. Gator, according to Vegas, the Lions are 5-1 to get this guy. Only one team in the NFL has better odds to get him. Will they make this move? We will get to that today at 11:16. Plus, question about this scrimmage coming up. This game coming up on Thursday against the Chargers. It is Carson Anderson here on 97.1 The Ticket.
Good afternoon. It is the Valenti Show with Rico Stoney here for Mike. 248-539-9797. On Thursday, yes, it's the Major League Baseball trading deadline. We know about that. We hope the Tigers will improve their roster. But also Thursday, on these very airwaves, the Detroit Lions begin the quest for that elusive Super Bowl championship with a game against the Los Angeles Chargers in the Hall of Fame game in Canton, Ohio. A game where I would assume that nobody of major significance on either team will be participating. Dan Campbell said today, I don't think Tyreek Williams or even Tate Ratledge are going to play. So they'll probably play sometime in the preseason. They should. But not in this game. And by the way, the game is so significant that the Los Angeles Chargers starting quarterback will be Trey Lance.
Yeah, I don't even know why they're bothering to play this game. I mean, I think the Lions pretty much played all their people today in their scrimmage because they're not. They'd rather see, you know what, we'll have them play here in Allen Park. They're not going to play on in that game.
Right. So, obviously, Thursday we'll talk more, or maybe we won't, about that game. Hopefully, we'll be talking about some Tiger acquisitions, like I said. But the question I have, 248-539-9797, is it just me? Now, I know the fans, they sold out all of training camp. So, maybe it's just us being jaded. I don't sense the buzz and anticipation that we had for this team last year, and I'm trying to figure out why.
Yeah, I think I may have cracked the code because we've asked the question of because I thought maybe it was a hangover. Maybe you're still, not quite over what happened, what you saw in January with this team, with the Commanders coming in here. You know, we were expecting to do shows in New Orleans, and instead it was like vacation's over. And you know what? Everybody ended up with sick on vacation, mm-hmm. flying back. It was just a horrible ending, and I thought maybe it was just a hangover. Or, Stoney, maybe it's this. Maybe the Lions fans have gotten into that territory. Remember with the Wings, it was wake me up when the playoffs get here?
Oh, yeah, but because there's no issues. When teams are really good, and I'm not going to compare the Wings' greatness of, you know, a semi-dynasty to what the Lions are going through, but it gets to a point year after year, you know where you're going to be or you think you're going to be, so it's like nothing really matters unless there's something, you know, catastrophic that it would
happen. I think what happened with the Lions is they realized that the regular season means absolutely bupkis. It means nothing. It doesn't. Stoney, they had the number one overall. And I think Lions fans got seduced by that. Oh, if we get the number one overall seed, we're going to the Super Bowl. And they realized that doesn't mean anything. Wake me up when the playoffs get here. And I think that a lot of Lions fans, 248-539-9797, are you in just wake me up when the playoffs start, and that's when I'm going to get dialed in. That's when I'm going to get focused. They have enough talent. They'll make the playoffs. I don't know where. But being the number one overall seed didn't work out for them.
Correct. So, yeah, the question is, you obviously, if you're not that excited yet, you're assuming you're going to make the playoffs. And I get that. They should make the playoffs. But there's no guarantee. And it's not like in hockey, in basketball, where there's 80 games and, you know, 82 games, in baseball where there's 162. You got 17 games. So the regular season still is very important because you have to at least win a minimum of 10 of those to get in. And I think you're partly correct where we're just waiting for the playoffs to start. But the other side of me is sitting there. I think there's a lot of Lion fans out there, I could be completely wrong, who are a little worried.
Concerned
about
scared.
About the things that you should be concerned about. You know, the Ragnar retiring and losing Zeitler. You're having, you know, Ratledge is going to be playing guard and Mahogany playing guard. Okay.
And Glasgow. So a rookie and a rookie.
Right. And Glasgow probably being the center. The defensive line with McNeil not being available, with Onzarike hurt, with Pascal not coming back till practicing, Dan Campbell said today, sometime in, you know, early September, he'll return to the practice field, not ready for game shape. You have that. You do have the schedule with playing those really good quarterbacks on the road. That's in your mind. And the coordinator difference is on your mind. And you may think I'm crazy. I think the coordinator thing is actually the least important of what I just described. To me, the offensive and defensive line are by far away the biggest concerns of this football.
Yeah, I disagree with you, Stoney. I think that the coordinator is actually bigger.
Okay.
The fact that because look, Ben Johnson didn't get stupid in that final game. I know a lot of the people want to blame him. Oh, he had a foot out the door. He was already going to leave.
No, that's not true.
It's not true. But the relationship and the way that he was able to get the most out of Jared Goff was the best I've ever seen Goff play. The Rams didn't see that. That's why they let him go. They basically drug him out to the curb and said, Detroit, if you want him, you can pick him up.
Right.
You know, you can have him. And then all of a sudden, Ben Johnson unlocked something in him, and now you got people chanting his name. Now he looks like one of the better quarterbacks, regardless of all the shortcomings that he has. He's a guy that, you know, he was perfect in some games. Like he wasn't right. Throwing in, like he was getting it done. And I think a lot of that was Johnson knew what plays to work and call and how to just basically call a game for him that he felt so comfortable. I don't know if you're going to get that with right. John Morton.
It's a question. Look, I'm not minimizing the losses of the coordinators. I just think all in all, it comes down to talent. And if you're talent up front is injured and you have to rely on rookies and you don't have that other edge rusher to begin with. I didn't even mention that yet. But the interior of the offensive defensive line, because of the injuries, that's what scares me the most. Not the coordinator stuff, which is, I'm not minimizing it, but I don't care. If you had Ben Johnson there and you didn't have Ragnow and you didn't have Zeitler, you have problems there, I don't think the coordinator's going to be able to fix that. Well, see, if Jared Goff doesn't have time to throw the freaking ball, I don't care who the coordinator is.
Okay. No, Sony, it's a fair point. And then I look at the one that Aaron Glenn never got enough credit. Putting a defense out there every week with turnover. And, okay, now who's hurt? Like, oh, my God, who are you, son?
Yeah.
Okay.
He had to bring back Vildor to play defensive end. Right. I mean, defensive back.
Yes.
By the end, David, he's just out there calling people by their numbers because he doesn't know their names. Hey, 59, come here. You're in the wrong spot.
People put their name on the front of their helmet.
Mm-hmm. Right. Like I think that those two, a lot of things. But like you said, the lines, that should concern people. The fact that you don't have the stabilizing forces in the coordinators to make sure that you can get the most out of what you have is a lot of brand new stuff. And like I said, for Lions fans, it's an eerie quiet that I've been trying to figure out what's happened. Because last year, hey, we're on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Everybody's picking us. And now, okay. So we have, we're all wrapped up in the Tigers. You can root for both teams.
248-539-9797. Say hello to Chuck. You're a 97 on the ticket.
Afternoon, guys. How are you?
Hey, Chuck.
Thank you.
My biggest thing is the coordinators. I mean, for 3 years we had, arguably, to me, the best coordinators. And they were able to plug people in when someone got hurt. Now we have two coordinators that are not proven. Even though we got the talent, are they going to be able to get that same talent out of those players that Glenn and Johnson got out of them? That's my concern.
And it's, you know what? Look, like I said, I think the actual players are more important. But when you talk about the coordinators, there's also position coaches that they lost too. I mean, they lost, you know, Antoine Randall-El. They lost their defensive line coach who they loved last year. He was only here for 1 year. Tyrell Williams, who went to New England to be the DC under Mike Vrabel. So, yeah, we'll see. It is a concern, but to me, like I said, if you have to have the players.
They were able to get the talent out of the players they had. And I'm just worried about the new coordinators to see what they can do.
I'm right there with you.
Well, look, Shepard has been promoted, and John Morton was here before, so it's not that they're complete strangers. And a little question about John Morton and something he's going to be doing, whether you think that's going to be good or bad. That's coming up next. 97 won the ticket.
Welcome back and good morning. We are out live today in Allen Park. Lions practice getting set to get underway, and we are fortunate enough to be joined by Scotty Montgomery, assistant head coach, wide receiver coach. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're doing great.
A little steamy, but we'll make it.
Yeah, it is. It's a little bit more steamy. I thought the shade would make it look really cool in here, but it is
nope.
A
little bit sticky.
No, so your attire, I'm questioning the,
yeah, that's a bold move.
The long pants, yeah,
all
hoodie.
Black.
It's camp, man. You got to put yourself through. I got to get callous too, right?
So we're, you know,
I got to get in shape too. It's not easy to stand around and look at great players all day.
So let's talk about that, right? You go from coaching running backs, where you have this tandem, Sonic and Knuckles, and now you go coach receivers, and it's not ho hum. You got a great room over there.
Man, you know, sometimes you just get blessed. You got people praying for you. The best thing about being a great coach is the players that you get a chance to coach, really, they make you better.
What have you learned about this group of receivers that maybe you didn't know when you were in the running back room?
Man, they're hungry for knowledge. Even Saint, just the time that we are able to spend, or whether it's texting, whether it's FaceTime, whether it's in the meeting room, before the meeting even starts, you know, you got guys 20 to 30 minutes, just their thirst for knowledge and the game and the continual want to grow and scheme.
Now, this is actually more your background. You played receiver. You coached receivers in Pittsburgh, a bunch of great names there. Do you feel more at home coaching the receivers?
You know, I think that anywhere that, you know, where I'm in the classroom, any position that I've coached or any time on the grass. I just think I'm at home with football, man. It's just it's been a blessing to be around, you know, this for most of the entirety of my life and the people that I've been able to be around. So just, you know, just really just happy to have an opportunity.
So some of the guys in that room, we could spend all day talking about a lot of them, but I want to start with J-Mo.
Yeah.
John Morton said this could be a breakout year for J-Mo, and Dan Campbell has alluded to that as well. He's a 1,000-yard receiver. What does a breakout year look like for a guy that's already been a 1,000-yard receiver?
Consistency. You know, consistency, not just in the, you know, from a standpoint of playing in the game, but practice, leading some of his teammates, the younger guys in the room. You know, that's what it's going to look like. And to this point, on where we are in the offseason or moving kind of through training camp here, and this guy's been awesome. Scheme-wise, bringing his teammates along with him and then holding himself to a different level of accountability and growing his route tree.
The younger guys, Tesla, Lovett, rookies, what have you seen impressions?
Excited. You know, you have to pass all these tests, you know, when you come in as young players. First thing you got to do is you got to be able to be quiet long enough to remain in the locker room. All right. Then there's the test of how can I learn the playbook and how can I soak all that in? Then you have to come out on the grass, compete against these grown men. But the biggest test that you have to pass is when you put the pads on. And they've done a good job so far.
I'm sure Brad talked to you about, you know, your evaluation of the receivers coming out. Has Tesla been able to confirm to you, whether it's been in mini camps, it's been OTAs, now that you got the pads on, what you saw from him in college?
Yeah, so, you know, he had a little bit of a slow offseason because he had some little injuries that were going on that they were, you know, we moved through that. And then what we were able to see now is that his length, his speed, his ability to track the ball down the field, and because he's so big, his physicality now is starting to show up. We didn't even get a chance to see all of that from the tape. It was just a great evaluation by those guys. And then now when we got him here, we're just continuing to know that there's more that he can do than we thought even in the beginning.
He's got to earn it, but what do you forecast a role for him looking like in this offense?
Man, it's hard. You know, one thing he's got to realize is that the guys around him are going to hold him to a high standard. You know, what we want from him is that when we ask him to go hit safeties at this point in time, he's got to go hit safeties. When we give him a chance to go catch the football or make it on the perimeter or in the interior, he has to show us consistency and being able to do that. He'll carve out his own role.
You mentioned the leadership that J-Mo has showed in there. Obviously, Amon-Ra St. Brown, I'm sure he's doing everything he's always done. But when you're installed and all of those things are going on, how much of this offense or terminology is different under John Morton than it was under Ben Johnson?
Yeah, I mean, there's things, of course, that we've changed. There's no doubt about it. And then there's some things that we maybe have kept the same. It's really the comfortability of the players, kind of Johnny being able, the connection of that, of him being able to spit it out a certain way and then them being able to receive it. So it was a great job of those guys mixed. You just kind of meet in the middle with a lot of those things.
How's the relationship between, and I wouldn't expect you to know it, between Goff and John Morton, but between the receivers? We always heard that Ben was this guy that would talk to everyone, that would communicate, this is going well, this isn't going well, this is what we want to do. How do you see that relationship developing between the players and yourself, but also the players and John Morton?
And this is, you know, this is what this is about, training camp. It's not just us communicating in the classroom or on the grass, but we got to continue to hold each other accountable in everything that we do. So I can tell you from the beginning of spring to where we are now, the level of accountability, but also our level of communication and reducing the amount of talking that we have to do to get our job done has been going really, really well.
John, you asked about how the offense without Ben Johnson. If Lions fans, when they watch this season, what are they going to notice that would be different, the biggest difference without Ben Johnson?
You know, that's hard for me to say. You know, I'm so engulfed in what we're doing on a daily basis. You know, there are guys that are taking major steps offensively for us. Sain has been fantastic. Gibbs continues to grow. You know, Leaf has had a fantastic offense. Sam LaPorta is back. You know, so all of these things and these pieces, there may be places that we can grow that we don't even know yet. We're still in the process of trying to figure that out.
You mentioned Gibbs. You're not done working with him, right? I mean, the idea that he could be catching passes in a different role this year, can we see him playing a little receiver in addition to running back?
I think you can see him playing just about anything that we can get him to football at, because he's talented. But one of the things that people don't know about Gibby is that he can learn the offense from every perspective. He knows the receiver position. He knows the back positions. You call a play, you can throw him in any position, and he can go play. It makes you very valuable.
So any coach that I've ever known, especially guys that are former players, there's a specific goal that they want to accomplish on a daily basis. What are you looking for? What are you trying to accomplish with these guys today?
You know, so you see a lot, you see a little, you see a little, you see a lot, right? So today my focus is going to be directly connected to two things: how they're handling press coverage and footwork in releases. I'm really going to try to hone in on that today. Our drills will kind of show that, just our footwork at the top of the routes. But also, you know, just the things of, I'm watching that today. I can go watch the rest of it on tape, but I'm going to be all over their footwork and their releasability today.
When you're talking in regards to some of those things, Amon-Ra St. Brown has done this at a high level for a number of years now. How do you coach him up, and is it different than talking to a guy like Isaac Tesla, who's still trying to figure out what's going on in this offense? How do you address a guy of his talent, his ability, and his accomplishments?
Man, the one thing, only the players, they only want one thing: can you make me better, right? So I'm coaching him just as hard as I'm coaching a young player, but his is more connected to efficiency. How can I make him more efficient in the top of his breaks, with his hands, at catch point? All these things I'm putting a huge magnifying glass on, and if we can get him to get just 1 inch better, I mean, it'll be a hell of a year. So it's just maintaining his efficiency in the way that he works, and taking care of his body. You know, I'm a little bit older, so I know that you can beat receivers down, and hopefully, we won't do that to him.
Talking to Lions assistant coach Scotty Montgomery, working with the receivers. If you could take us inside, every team's different, right? Last year it was trying to overcome losing the NFC title game. This year, what is kind of the message you guys have given this team as you guys are now into camp?
Man, finish. Just finish. Like, and every time we take the field, we need to get better. We have to get better. We're going to sharpen ourselves. It's been a very physical camp. But, we got to finish, and that's in all situations.
When do you flip the switch? And obviously, hey, there's four preseason games, which is, when you and I played, you probably still had four, maybe even five if you played in the Hall of Fame game.
Yep.
When do you make the switch, or how often do you start thinking about the Vikings, the Bears, Kansas City, Cincinnati, some of those teams that are coming up that are going to pose a lot of challenges to you guys?
A lot of times, a lot of that work is done in the offseason, kind of leading up to it, right? But right now, we're singularly focused on trying to get these guys to play as a team, but also play well and give them an opportunity to make it. But we do have those thoughts. There's no question about it. When we get to the latter part of training camp, we'll do a sweep on some teams again, and we'll get started.
Do you like having the four preseason games?
I can't wait until our guys.
You can say no, it's okay.
I can't wait to see our guys play this year. How about that?
Who are you looking at in terms of – I'm sure we won't see Amon-Ra St. Brown. We won't see some of these guys in the preseason. It's just been the way that Dan has operated things. But young guys, who stood out to you? Who should we be looking for on Thursday night?
Man, that's the million-dollar question. This game, usually a star will be born that you didn't know anything about, right? And hopefully one or two of these guys that we know that we've drafted, of course, will have a chance to play and play well. But there's always somebody hanging back in the bushes that's going to pop out. I think I got a good idea of who a few of those guys are, but I don't want to steal any of their shine before it happens.
All right, fair enough. Scotty Montgomery, appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
It's 97.1.
But not so much that you'll become a fan.
I mean, probably not. I mean, I like Aaron Glenn.
I like Aaron Glenn.
And I don't like the Jets, but now that they've moved on for Aaron Rodgers, maybe I can go ahead and like the Jets because Aaron Glenn is there to turn things around.
Or at least not dislike them.
Yes. But the hat, there's a picture that Pro Football Talk tweeted out with a story about Aaron Glenn where he's at a podium talking.
Yeah.
Am I wrong? Is that a great-looking hat?
It is a pretty cool-looking hat. And Aaron Glenn is, to me, kind of a bit of a cult hero here in Detroit. I loved Aaron Glenn. I don't know if there's a coach that I just could sit back and listen to talk football for hours and be entertained as much as Aaron Glenn. I thought Aaron Glenn was awesome to listen to. And I also realize that when that happens, usually I start to conflate that and go, oh, well, he must be a great coach. It doesn't mean he's a great coach. I think what he did on the field, the defense struggled, but they didn't have much to work with. And if you look back in retrospect, what they were able to even get done without who they had was pretty remarkable. And I think he's got head coaching traits as far as like leader of men and getting buy-in. I think he's going to be very successful. Do I like the hat? Yeah. Do I like it even more because it's on a dude that I absolutely have a total man crush on? Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, right? I mean, it's a good look. The Black Jets. Well, I guess we should retweet it now, right? So others can see it.
You got it?
Anyway, hey, let's welcome in Kang, our producer. Kang, how are you?
Hello, guys. Hi, Gator.
Hi, Kang.
Nice to have you back, man.
Nice to be back, buddy. Thanks.
How was your weekend?
It was good, man. It was good. I had a daddy-daughter day yesterday, which was, by the way.
It was your older daughter, obviously?
No, both.
So
this is the thing. I wanted to break some news for you guys. Actually, we get some texts every now and then asking, you know, the little one, the younger one still hates me. I don't think she hates me. But I think we've broken ground, broke bread. I think she's starting to acknowledge that I am her father.
Way to go.
I know, man. It's big news.
So let's be clear. It's for people who are new to the show and haven't heard the stories. The two real examples of the way your youngest daughter has responded to you is you would look at her and say, I love you. And she would look back at you and say, I love mommy.
Yes.
And the other, which is great, this is my favorite, is you have two couches in your living room. You were sitting on one and the two girls were sitting with your wife on the other. And your youngest daughter looked at you and started to laugh and said, Daddy, you are sitting alone.
You are all by yourself.
You're all by yourself.
No one likes you. We're over here, away from you. So, yeah, I mean, but no, honestly, I think 4 years it took. But you know what? I am her dad.
So what happened here? What give us some details?
I don't know. I think she's just starting to, like I said, I think I just broke her down, Gator, finally. You know, I think she's starting to be a little bit nicer to me. Now it's not like when I say I love you to her, she says, I love mommy and daddy.
Oh,
she still includes mommy though, so it's not just directly I love daddy.
Right, you know what? Here's the thing. But you're included.
It's like you're at least in the others receiving votes category.
Yes, exactly.
Like you aren't ranked yet, mm-hmm. but you are receiving votes.
Yeah, it's not quite honorable mention.
Nope.
No.
But baby steps.
Yeah. Yep. So my wife had to go to a wedding shower, so I was with the girls, both of them. I'm like, you know, mommy's leaving. Is this going to be us? And my older one's fine, and the other one, she came along for the ride. We had a good day. So.
Well, cool.
Took him out of the house.
What'd you guys do?
We went and got some boba tea. We went to the playground for about 30 minutes. It was insanely hot outside, and so that ended quickly.
Do they care that it's that hot at that age?
No, man. Kids are resilient. Yeah. They are animals. They are just, they don't, I don't know what it is. You know,
it's like they don't sweat yet.
Or they just don't care either. Right. You know what I mean? They don't care that they're sweating.
Kids, we're outside, other kids. This is great.
They see a playground. It's like us seeing football season coming up. You know what I mean? They cannot wait. Get me there.
Yes. Is that a slide?
Yeah.
Let's go. Hoof it.
Right?
That's really funny because that's a great analogy that I think everybody. Wait, football? Wait.
Got a game on Thursday, man.
Dude, a game is on Thursday. On Thursday. And we are all in the same category. We are not in any way wishing summer away.
No, not at all.
And yet it feels like one of the things that makes the end of summer so awesome is indeed football. Thank God we have football in our lives. Football, we love you. And we've missed you. And you're about to come back into our lives. And we're very grateful.
Loving baseball too, though.
It has been fun. It has been really, really fun with this Tiger. Although not as much of late.
I've been disappointed in the last couple of weeks, but you know. Get your grades up.
They are trying. they've been testing us. All right, so we put out this Twitter poll. Have you seen it?
I have not.
No, Kang, have you seen the results of the Twitter poll?
I have not looked recently, no.
Okay, Lions play a game this week. Which of the following concerns you the most? Frank Ragnow retired, so the interior of the offensive line is option A. Option B is Ben Johnson left, the offensive wizard. Option C is Aaron Glenn left, respected defensive coordinator. And option D is the other edge rusher, no major additions. Of those four, Ragnow leaving, Ben Johnson leaving, Aaron Glenn leaving, and the other edge rusher, no major additions. What is your biggest concern of those four? There's an overwhelming response here.
For me, it's Frank Ragnow because there's not a complete unknown because we have seen Glasgow play center, but there's a big unknown because we have not seen Ratledge play guard for the Detroit Lions. And having, you know, Mahogany on the other side who did start a couple games and had some experience last year, but not a ton. I mean, this is a brand new interior of that offensive line. And the offensive line is the whole lifeblood of this team, frankly. Because if you think the defense isn't all that great, but then the offense can overcompensate for that and score 35 points a game, and win games 35-31, great. But if the offensive line isn't working, then you don't get to that point. So I think the number one concern is, how is that interior going to look?
Okay. Kang, what do you think the number one answer is of these four concerns?
What do I think, or what would I go with?
Well, what would you go with?
I would go with Ragnow.
Would you?
Yes. Okay. And I think that's what the people would say, too. I think the offensive line, everyone knows that's where it starts with this team. Got to keep Goff upright. And that's the biggest thing. I mean, not only he's one of the five starting offensive linemen, he's just the guy who calls out the protection. You know, the rapport he had and the chemistry he had with Goff, huge.
Okay. So we like Twitter polls where there's really well-balanced responses. And you can have some debate. Like a perfect Twitter poll with four options, it would be 25%, 25%, 25%, 25%. This Twitter poll comes well short of that. This Twitter poll is as lopsided as we've had. A distant fourth with 1.9% of the vote is?
The edge rusher?
Aaron Glenn being gone.
Okay.
Third with 11.7% of the vote.
The edge rusher?
Ben Johnson's departure.
Oh, my.
Second, with 21% of the vote.
The edge rusher?
Nailed it. 21% of the vote. And 65.3% of respondents have said Frank Ragnow's departure. And, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
The foundation is right there. I thought it'd be a little bit more of the Ben Johnson thing and the edge rusher, because those things have gotten a ton of calls and feedback. I thought they'd have a little bit more than this. I'm not stunned that Ragnow being gone is the number one answer. I'm stunned that it's by almost 45% more than the next closest response. But, I mean, look, this town, you know, believes in football principles, like building from the trenches out, which this organization has done as well as any incarnation of a Lions team we've ever seen.
I'm not surprised it's number one by that margin. What I am surprised about is that three and four are the coordinators, and that they're that distant.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still the fans feel it's the number two is the edge rusher. I understand it. And maybe it's also because I also understand that the I'm not as concerned about the coordinators because they've been here. Not as coordinators, but they've been here. It's been a minute since Johnny Morton was here.
And let me, Kang, are they he calling was here. Him, I think you said last week, are they calling him J-Mo or J-Mort? Or
Johnny Mo.
Johnny Mo, thank you. So Johnny Mo is in charge of the offense. He spoke today. We'll have some highlights of what he had to say.
Johnny Mo spoke?
Johnny Mo spoke today, the new offensive coordinator. But, you know, the new guys, he has been here before. He's been with six different organizations. New Orleans, the Raiders, the Broncos most recently, a couple others. But
he's been with the Lions
before. He has been with the Lions before.
With Dan Gamble.
And he talked about many of the things that we are talking about right now, like him replacing Ben Johnson and the interior of the offensive line.
Hey, Woj, what's up? It is the Valenti and Rico show. Stoney here with you today. I'll be back, I think, August the 11th.
The 11th. You and I.
Yes.
Going to run it back.
Yes, exactly. And then there's a few days you're going to be off that I'll be in with Mike. So, yes, Mike will be back on Monday. Oh, we all saw the Lions game last night. And don't want to spend too much time on it, but we will get to it shortly.
A couple things from that game.
Yeah.
But this is why I like doing shows with Stoney.
We were just talking, and you know, Rico's mentioned that the city is plagued, in Rico's opinion, of general managers who are afraid to do stuff. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to put that question to Brad Holmes again. Now, I don't think it'll get that serious, because I don't think Jerry Jones is going to accommodate one of his players. But Micah Parsons has officially requested via his social media that he wants to be traded from the Dallas Cowboys. So my question is, obviously, with the cliche around here is, you know, you make the call, of course. And I think anybody would make a call. But I want to ask you, Rico, you, David, Kenny, and the fine people of southeastern Michigan, and those living somewhere else but listening, what would it take, do you think, to acquire one Micah Parsons? And whatever you come up with, would you want the Lions to do it? Do you think the Lions would do it? Which is two completely different answers, probably. Personally, I think it's a minimum of two number one draft choices and maybe one, two. That's what I would say. Two ones and a two for a perennial Pro Bowl pass rusher. And he does other things, too. He's pretty good on the run as well. A great player. You can argue whether he's good in the locker room. I have no idea. He's outspoken sometimes. He does a good podcast. And I have to admit it, if anybody would remember before that draft, I wanted them to take Micah Parsons ahead of anybody, including Penei Sewell, and it worked out pretty well. But I am a Micah Parsons suck-up. I think he's great. And can just you imagine him and Hutchinson together? Oh, my God.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. All right. Yeah, first ballot Hall of Famer. Yeah. Stoney, if we played this 248-539-9797, by the way, what would you give up to get Micah Parsons here in Detroit?
Hendon Hooker doesn't count.
Yeah, okay. You know what? I don't even have a joke. He ain't even worthy of a joke.
Yeah, I know.
I think that minimum, and you're looking at two ones,
mm-hmm,
and probably two number twos.
So I said two and a two, two ones and one two. You said two ones and two twos.
Or at least two ones, a two, and a three. Like, you're going to give up a lot to get him. But here's the thing. If I'm the Lions, I don't care, because with him, you're probably handing over picks 30, 31, or 32.
Right. That's why, first of all, Dallas, if they're smart, they wouldn't trade it to a team like the Lions. But in our little fantasy world.
That's why I said you may have to give up a bunch, because now they could take your two number ones and move that to go get somebody who they really want.
Right. Now, look, I don't want to take this to the way Max Crosby and Garrett was. You know, it took over these airwaves for a while, but it's just, it happened today. So I just thought about what would it take to get them, and whatever price you come up with, would you do it? David, what do you think it would take? And if you're Brad Holmes, would you do it?
Okay, so I was looking it up. I just wanted to kind of get a comparison here, because Khalil Mack is the first thing that came to my head.
Mm-hmm.
To kind of compare that. The Raiders received first and a sixth in 2019, a first and a third in 2020, and a second round pick as well.
You mean the Bears, right? Or no? No, you're right.
No, he was traded to the Bears.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
So basically two first round picks.
Right. Okay.
And change. So Parsons would technically be a year younger than Mack was when he was traded, this same trade. So I would go similar. Yes, two first round picks and some change. Two in a third, I don't know, throw it in, whatever, but definitely two first round picks for sure.
Yeah.
That's what I would do. I don't think Brad Holmes would do that.
Wow.
Because then you have to give him a contract. So,
well, that's true as well. But okay. You know what? The cap is going up, up, up. You have ways to do it.
Yeah. And you're sitting there with money right now. And
yeah, but then you also got to pay Hutch. Paying Hutch and Parsons over $40 million a year each. It's a lot, man. That's a lot. I don't think he'll do that.
Or I just pay Parsons.
And trade Hutch?
I'm just saying. I Hutch, coming off the broken leg, I know what I'm getting out of Micah Parsons. I'm getting a first ballot Hall of Famer. Hutch is still all we're speculating based off of how he started last year. Yes, David. If I had to choose between the two, I'm taking Parsons. Yes, I would. I'm taking the proven commodity. This man is think about it. What is Hutch and everybody? They're waiting for Parsons to sign. Why? Because he's going to set the new market. So, yeah, he is that good. 248-539-9797.
He is that good. I just think you look at Hutch, his broken leg, as the same you look at it as an Achilles or an ACL.
No.
They're two different.
Sony, I'm saying, just coming off, I know what Micah Parsons is. And he's a one of one. Hutch, we're hoping that he will become that guy. Parsons is there right now.
I love
Micah
Parsons.
So, no, this isn't a Hutch versus Parsons thing. It's more of a what would you give up for Parsons?
Right.
Two ones, two twos. Let's make the deal happen.
248-539-9797. Maurice, you're on 97, won the ticket.
What's up, fellas? Good to hear from you. How y'all doing?
Hey, man.
Hey, so listen, I agree solely with the first part of what David said. I think you could get him. Well, you could vie for him with two first rounders and a third rounder. But kind of hear me out, man. Like, with the salary cap implications, they're going to go up, but you still have to pay him that $40 million a year. And honestly, I would prefer to pay Aiden Hutchinson and Micah Parsons $40 a year than Jared Goff $50 million. So this is what I do. I push his contract back. I renegotiate. And if he has some hesitance with that, I let him play out that year next year with the following year being voidable. And I just go draft like a Raiola or an Manning that's coming out or – couple other quarterbacks, because it's easier to find a Jared Goff in the draft than it is to find a Micah Parsons.
So you're saying let Goff go, sign the two bookends. Okay, I see where you're going, Mo.
Right.
I'm not mad at you. I like that. I like the way you're thinking, because I do wonder, like, you know, how long is Jared Goff going to be a lifer here, or do you start to slowly move on?
Right.
But, man, if you had Hutch and Micah Parsons, I know Brad Holmes is like, you only need one. You kind of need two, because if you got two, you're setting the bar.
Right.
And even if your quarterback's no good or they're coming along, you could go the Ravens route, just have a lights-out defense, and just tell your quarterback, don't turn the ball over.
Correct. Look, do I think it would happen? No, I personally think that he's going to re-sign with Dallas no matter what he says.
Yeah.
However, it's interesting to talk. The fact of the matter is, when people say, you know, I'm not sure I want to give up two number ones, let's remember one thing. You're really not giving up two number ones. You're giving up one number one, because one of them is Micah Parsons.
That's a great point. That's a great point. And still, I would say,
yes.
If guys, even with both number ones, let's just say the Lions are good.
Right.
And the pick is somewhere between 26 and lower.
Right.
He's worth both of them.
Yes.
Here, Dallas, take him. Do whatever you want with him.
Exactly.
I don't care. I'm bringing him here. Now, I do think that in the end, you know, Jerry Jones, Jerry's a star bleeper, so he's going to bring him back. But you can dream. If I'm Brad Holmes, I would do whatever it takes to get him here.
I would too. 248-539-9797. Also, speaking of that team, we did get to see the first vision of the 2025 Detroit Lions last night. What'd you make of it? 97 won the ticket.